trying to get ready for the message. A message. You know, sometimes we can get ourselves as pastors or whatever so wrapped into thinking the message from God. And I think of nothing else that we just need to, I need to look at it and focus on it. It's God talking to Tim, you know. And some things that I read in scriptures and things that kind of stand out to me are things that I read and then I stop and then read it again, or I find another similar story in the scriptures about these things. And what started us today, I was just looking at it, and I don't know, it's a well-known thing. You know, we all understand faith, and we all understand that it's our faith, you know. And what accomplishes things in this time, it's your faith. And I was just this last few days rereading again about the woman with the issue of blood and different ones that touched his robe and the ones of healing and all of these things. And you find that in the Gospels there. And many times the Lord would say, you know, your faith has done what? Healed you. He had the power. It was through that virtue of him, because he can heal. But it was because of that person's understanding in their heart of their faith, of knowing that if, could you imagine today if we would just say, if I could just merely touch the hem of his garment, I know that I would be made whole. I know that if he would come and touch my daughter, she would be raised from the dead, or cast out, you know, the blind or the deaf. And there's things throughout some of the verses here, and I'm not really going to get into those because it was just, well, I don't know if I will get to those. We find that, I find it very interesting that Jesus is telling them it's your faith that has made you whole. Now, we have talked about this, I think, maybe on Tuesday nights a few times back or back in Sunday school. I don't know for sure, but there are times when a person can pray, and I truly feel that when a time that I had prayed one time for my mother, although her faith might be waning in some of these areas, I felt emboldened by who? The Holy Spirit. Because I didn't, every time I visited her and prayed for her, I never always said the same thing. It's those times that the Spirit hits you and you say these things, because it's like, I'm going to say these things, because there's a boldness and a surety and there's a faith in there. And when I had told my mother about this, about praying for her and blah, 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 and lung spot on her lung is cancerous and things, and when I told her, Mom, I don't know where your faith is at, but I believe the faith that I have is enough to bring forth what I believe I'm going to pray as far as healing, and the doctors aren't going to find that spot on your lung. I don't know what her comment was. It's been many years now. She's been passed. But I do remember, like, that week after we got home, and I got contact from an email back in that time, and it was to the point that, well, the x-ray showed that there was no more spot on that lung. And I rejoiced, and I had family members say, but the doctor said it's somewhere else in your body, like the doctors like to do. They just really like to, the enemy likes to come and really take away a blessing. And he really wants to throw a curve at you when, you know, the Lord just threw a strike right down the center of the alley. The devil wants to come and make it a curve to think about something else. And so I had to cast that away and not believe it. But, you know, she hadn't, and when she passed, she didn't die of cancer. More of a lung situation that wasn't for cancer. But it was that time that I can't say I've never had that unction again. Not to say that it will never come again, to stand in that boldness of like an authority to say, my faith will help this. It would be great, but then again, it may not be great. I think it's those certain times with your connection to that of the Spirit that God is going to show himself through you to someone else, and it doesn't happen all the time. But it's understanding that the power is there and by my faith. But normally it was these individuals, their faith that he had touched and healed. It was like, you've already received your healing. Your faith has made you whole. And then I got into Mark 9, and 14 begins talking about a boy is healed. A boy is healed. And when he had come, and when he came to the disciples, he, Jesus, he saw a great multitude. Scribes were disputing with them. Disputing with them. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say six? We will return. Let's start over. Mark chapter 9, Mark 9, verse 14. So we're finding about this boy and this disciples, and they're having this great multitude, and Jesus is seeing this, and the scribes are disputing with them. 15 says, immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? And then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. And so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Notice how in 16 he says, and he asked the scribes, the disciples, he asked, what are you discussing with them? And this father is like, hey, I'll tell you what we're saying. And the father just laid it out. In verse 19, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, unbelieving, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, how long has this been happening? And he says, from childhood. And often he had thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look at 22, and this is just as we read through this. Let's just... And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water. And what was throwing him into that? That spirit. And what was that spirit trying to do to him? Kill him, destroy him. Do you not think that same possible spirit is alive today, going about, you know, trying to seek, kill, and destroy lives? And so we have that same thing today, if we can kind of zoom past that into 2020 in our lives of today and the things that we deal with and have dealt with and in the future will continue to deal with, I'm sure. But we are able to deal with it because of that of Christ in our lives in a better way, for sure. But as we're finding this out here, where it says, wanting to destroy him. And Jesus says, well, if you can believe, all things are what? Possible to him who believes. Sounds pretty simple. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And what did the father do? He immediately cries out in verse 24 with tears, Lord, I believe. But he ends with what? Help my unbelief. Doesn't that just kind of like make you go like, what? I read that and it's like, yeah, I was like, even, you know, last night and things, and before I got sidetracked a little bit, I was like, what? I believe, but help my unbelief. Most Christians can identify with this man from time to time. We find our inadequacies in ourselves, don't we? And I think that's where it starts out, and that allows God to work in our lives. We got to find where we're inadequate. And I tell you what, I am inadequate in a lot of ways. But it's through him that helps me have that being adequate to function and do things. Talks about that for points of salvation, salvation comes to the inadequate sinners who realize their need and we ask for forgiveness. It's that point in time to where you realize that you have a need and you go and you ask him for that salvation. You go and you ask Jesus to come into your life. We've got to understand that we see the need, we've got to respond to it. And it first starts with that area of forgiveness. We acknowledge that our faith does come from God. He says he's given us all what? A measure of faith. All of us. It is his work in our lives that enables us to believe and to begin to obey and function and work in these areas. As always, we can ask for what we need, but when we doubt, we can ask for more faith. Have you ever asked for more faith? I have. You know, when you're weak, don't you ask for more strength? When you're not able to do something, Lord, give me the ability. When you're trying to do a task and you don't quite understand how it's all going to work together and come out, do you not say, Lord, give me understanding of what needs to be done, how to put this thing together to make it a bookcase? Man, you know, we see those times that we're inadequate, and we're going to him and asking him to help me, show me, give me a little more of what I'm going to need to understand this project or to understand this situation that I'm dealing with at this point. So we can always ask, and I do, and you probably do too, always ask for more of those things that you're needing from him. When we are wavering in our resolve to follow, we can ask for more resolve. It's hard sometimes to follow him. It's not easy, is it? We tell people, well, just follow Christ. Okay, but what happens when it gets going tough and rough and things come upon us? What about when we're unwilling to obey? Lord, help me obey. We know these things that our Lord wants from us. And I think with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, he really helps me get back on track. Does he help you get back on track? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I don't know where I would be. I would be like way out in left or right field. But the Holy Spirit is there to align me back. The Holy Spirit is there to say, you're not obeying like you should, or you're not following like you should be, or you need this or that, or he's asked, you know, whatever the case is. And I can sense that in my spirit. And when I sense that in my spirit, I want to be quick to understand, you know what, Spirit? You're right. Now what do I need to do? Oh, I got to ask for more of you, Lord. Didn't Paul say more to decrease, and you know he decreases and the Lord increase? We have that in our life. We have to decrease ourselves. We've got to decrease our thoughts, our desires, our wisdom at times, and to allow more of him to come into those places to elevate us, to raise us up, not to elevate us to, ooh, look who I am, but to elevate us into higher things of what God has for us. But I'm going to be saying at times, I have faith, but help my unbelief. An unbeliever has no interest in having more faith or being made willing to obey. You know, and that is, an unbeliever has no connections with that of the kingdom. They don't ask for more faith, do they? They're not interested in it. They're just happy-go-lucky, living life and ups and downs. And, you know, there's always some good times in life, even when we're away from Christ and we were away from him. We had happy things and going on in our lives, but we also had some battles, I'm sure, as we all do. But when we don't have that understanding, it's not like really going to him to say, increase my faith, because I was living life as living life was before Christ and before Christ came into my life. But after he came into my life, I began to understand and realize that there's a lot more to him that has to come into my life. And there's a lot more of my life that I've got to kick out so that he can come in. Because two of them can't stay together. I can't keep my own self-nature of who I am and who I want and what I want to be and say, okay, come in, you know, by that of the Holy Spirit, or fill me, Lord, become my Lord, and still keep a lot of myself, because it will not work. But we're going on, and let's find out if we can find some understanding of this and see where we're wanting to take this. I believe we can look at this as far as thinking about this, but it's help my unbelief is that a statement of faith and an admission that our faith is far from perfect. I want to be perfect, but can I be perfect? Now we talk about that, be perfect and things and maturity and growing to these things of God. But I think our faith is continually growing in all aspects of our life. It doesn't matter if you've only been a follower of his for 6 months or if you've been a follower of his for 60 years. Your faith is still growing now. If you followed him for many years and decades, your faith has grown, I would believe, right? And with that growth, there's usually the ability to say, well, he helped me through this battle, and now I'm in another battle, and I have faith that he's going to see me through to that, because he's never failed me in the past. Now, he may not have answered my prayer the way I wanted it, but every time he answered my prayer, it was the way he wanted it. It's not what I want, it's what he wants. But I've got to understand and have faith and trust into that. So it's a fine line that we're walking of faith and trust and belief and laying ourselves out to Him. You know, it's like climbing a mountain or something like that, and you got these lifelines and things that you're holding on to. I can never understand these people that climb, like, I can't think what they call them, but anyway, they're climbing. They only climb up and they hold on to the crevices of the sides of the cliff to get up there. It's not like they got a, and they're rock climbing, I guess, to a max, you know, and they're climbing up this side of a cliff, and all they got is holes and little caverns here and there, and they put their stakes in and wedge it, and they tie themselves off to a point, but they keep climbing. And have you ever, have you ever seen these people when they climb a side of a cliff, and then it gets night, and they attach little whatever these things are into the side, I think what they call them, and ropes, and then they lay this thing out there, and they lay on this thing and sleep on the side of a cliff. Now, I don't know about you, but if you roll a lot in bed, I'm just thinking, like, this could not go well. Now, I'm assuming they're probably tied in, too, I suppose. But I just envision these things, like, what is that? Really, you climb up and that's your goal in life, is to hang on the side of a cliff like thousands of feet up and sleep? Wow. I mean, I've had times where I've tried to roll out of bed or off the couch when I'm laying down and I lose my balance a little bit and I'm like, I can't get up. I just roll onto the floor sometimes, like, you know, and help myself up that way. But we put our, those individuals, they put so much faith and trust into those little, I can't think of what they call those things they nail into there, but the rocks, the or the ropes and the things that they attach them to and all of this equipment that they've got, their faith and their hope is that everything that I'm doing is going to hold me on the side of this cliff until sunrise tomorrow. We go through life, and I think sometimes we put ourselves in those areas. And we've got to understand that the cinching and the stakes that we use and the things of our life in the kingdom area, and I think of it as spiritually, but we have a need to have that same amount of trust and faith in these things that God has given us as tools to use. And these things that we've seen and used is our life in general. Is how has He brought you through thus far? Have you seen Him in your life in the last 20 years, you know? But this man says, and he's crying, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, and He said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and he came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and he rose. Wasn't that like the little girl in the room when he finally got there? All the fans going, she's dead, you know? Well, this young boy convulsed, and the spirit comes out, and he's laying there lifeless to their eyes. And the crowd is saying, he's dead. You know, when we go through a situation, and sometimes it's a very difficult situation. And maybe when that prayer is come and answered and God does take that from you or whatever, maybe not in the natural that you fall on the floor, but I don't know, maybe sometimes our spirit is like such a relief and an answer to prayer, and all of a sudden it's like, shoo. Sometimes when people say, oh my gosh, he's dead. No. You've just been relieved of such a tremendous stress thing or a thing on your life that it come out of your life, and Jesus would like, no, Tim, he's not dead, he's alive, and he raises him up. Has he raised us up today? Has he raised you up today through situations that you've gone through? I believe he has, and I, knowing some situations in this room, I believe, you know, you could say that, you know, how Jesus spoke to you, how Jesus helped you, how Jesus shared this, how he said this, how he comforted you this, how he said whatever it was, he gave you these tools. Now, here it is. I believe, but help my unbelief. What is that? And you could look it up yourself, but there's just a trying to get a clarity of an understanding of those things. But Dawn brought it out in Sunday school. And so this started this morning. All of a sudden, I got a few thoughts. And in Matthew 17:20, Jesus is transfigured on the mount. We find that there is a boy healed in verse 14. 15 says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely and falls into the fire." And this is what he has done already in Mark. "So I brought to your disciples." So it's just a reoccurring in Matthew. He's sharing the same thing. But we find in Matthew 17:20, so Jesus says to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have what faith? As that of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you." He's helping us understand it does not take gigantic faith to move that mountain in your life. Do you have a mountain in your life? You don't need to say, "Lord, give me, supersize my faith today because I've got a major situation. I just need to have faith the size of that little seed to know that things can be changed in the sphere of where I'm at and what's taking place in my life." It helps us understand, because we could understand this. If you would say, "Tim, you know why that didn't happen? Is because your faith was only a small little faith." You know what faith you needed? You needed the faith this big. That's why it didn't help. No, we've got to look at it saying, "All I need is just faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest little seed around, but yet what it grows into." And so we've got to take that and begin to develop it. We've got to develop that faith in us and allow it to grow. Then the only way things grow, it's a lot of times it's going through situations, you know. Anything in nature, it's got to be watered. Sometimes it's got to be pruned. Sometimes it's got to be whatever the case is to continue to grow and to fulfill what it's going to do. But here we go. I do believe, help my unbelief. All you need is the faith of that of a mustard seed. Now, he went, the father and the disciples or his entourage there that went out, they weren't able to remove that spirit from that boy. And Jesus goes, well, it takes much prayer and fasting to do some of these things. So there's areas there. But I think we got to be careful that we don't read those things and say, "Oh, that's the way to make God do what I want him to do. It says this, this, this. I'm going to do this, this, this." But what happens if this, 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 back in those days or in the scripture that you're reading, and you do it over here in your situation, and it doesn't work? And then we go, well, it worked back then. This is how it happened. Isn't this the recipe of how to get this done? I think the only thing that is evident throughout, if we call it that, of a recipe for anything in God in our life, it's where is that faith at? And where is it developing? And what are you hearing from God? Many times we've heard and stories way back, and Smith Wigglesworth and things like that, to where, you know, crusades and stuff, and the lady has a tumor on her face or wherever, and the Spirit of God told him just to punch it. I mean, could you imagine doing that in the day? Wow. You better be hearing from God. You know? And I don't think it's going to help in you not hearing from God, and it's just you, because I saw and heard this man do it, and there's a lady or there's a man with a tumor. Okay, God, you did it then. It'll probably work now, right? Huh? Boom. Person lays out on the floor and they're knocked out cold and the tumor's still there. And 3 days later, you're before the judge. Honest. What's your plea? Well, Smith Wigglesworth did it and it worked. Smith who? What? You know, we look at these things and we want to copy it because it was powerful. It's not to say and take away anything that men and women of the old did by that of the power of the Holy Spirit at the time when the Spirit was moving for that particular time. We've got to look at it in the here and now and how it approaches me and what am I hearing? What are you hearing? It'll probably be different generally, or if it's the same, it might be a little this, that, or way, or whatever the case might be. But the whole thing is we've got to be sensitive to the point of where I am hearing. And have you ever heard people say, "I have heard this from the Lord"? When you've heard something from the Lord, how does it make you feel? It's like, wow. You, in the spirit again, it's like, do you ever, and I had a few of those, and it's like, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. How do you explain it? I just don't know, but I know that I know. There's something in the spirit that it's like solidified, it's emboldened, here again, bold. It's just knowing that it was nothing else but that of God. What about, and I, as we look at moving in faith and how we have been told to have a mustard size of faith and how we need to have that, without faith it's impossible to please God, and he's given us a measure of faith, and we're measuring all of these things and hearing all of this verbiage and reading it here, and we're seeing it work and we're seeing it not work, but then we see him say, I don't even have to touch you, my child, just by your faith, you're healed. Well, you touched me. By your faith, you're healed. Jesus gave us a great example of, you don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen somehow. Now, if it doesn't happen here, and you're a child of God, and you die and you go to heaven, you've got a new body. You're healed. Yes, I want to be healed on this side of heaven, Lord, if I can do more ministry for you, if I can be used for you in this kingdom work that you're doing here, let me stay and let me go, you know? There is a, how am I going to share this? I'm just going to kind of share it very vaguely, but there's a situation last night where an individual needed some help, a family. And they had no connection here in our community, but there was one in Whitewater that this pastor had married them. Now, they've been married for like 25, 26 years. And after that, there's really been no connection. But they needed a pastor because of a death in their family. And so I got his name and I did a, thank goodness. You know, we complain about these things, but I tell you what, it made me look good. Because I was able to go out and say, Google, search this name in Whitewater. And it comes up with names and whatnot. So I got that, and I looked at the name and the age. I go, my gosh, 80, 81 years old? That's what he'd be at this time? So I go back into the house, and I say, would this former pastor be, like, old? Yes. Oh, yeah. I said, about, like, 80 or so? Oh, yeah, at least. Yeah, he's been retired for, like, I don't know, a long time, 30 years or something like that. So anyway, it worked out. But that man, just by my call and explaining the situation and how he was able to connect back and call that family within just a few minutes after I went back into the house, it made that connection. And it's those things that I look at that as that man as a pastor years ago, and now he's 80 years old. Bless his heart, little hard of hearing. I was yelling outside on my phone to him a few times. No, it's this, you know. Oh, and after he goes, well, I'm just a little hard of hearing. I'm thinking, well, 80, 81, yeah, probably. Sometimes I am too. But he was there, and God was moving. And that's that serving of at that age. And I say that, it brought me to that remembrance of here's this man in, up in 80 years of age and calling this couple that he married many years ago and said, I will be available to help you with the funeral. Let me know the details. I'm thinking, wow. See, as we, you, all of us, as we are here on this, we are to serve and keep serving until he gets us called home. I'm so thankful for that pastor was willing to do that and not say, well, I've retired from that and I don't do that no more. He had a heart of a pastor. You know? I had to explain the name a little bit and the maiden name and married name and all that. And where they lived. But it's like it's something in him. And that should be something in all of us. And that's something that I need to reflect on. That, you know, there'll be a day when we retire, so to speak, out of doing all of this all the time. But, you know, if somebody calls upon you to help in a time of need, it should be one of those things, I want to serve you, Lord. And how best to serve the Lord than doing what? Ministering to his people or to people. They may not even have a very close relationship to God, but God has love, grace, and mercy when people are going through tragedies to help. And so as we look at this, it's just like, I don't know how he's going to answer my prayers. I know that he will answer my prayers. But then I've got to say, but Lord, if I do not understand the way you've answered, enlighten me by the Spirit that it's going to be fine anyway, but I'm going to trust you. Now, getting back to this thing about I do believe, but I help my unbelief, and we talk about faith. And the faith is that seed, and the faith we're given, and the faith to please God, and everything is by faith. We learn by faith, and all these things of learning how faith moves, and that's that key ingredient in our walk with Him. And I will look through just a few things here, but it made me begin to wonder this morning. All of a sudden, it hit me. It's like man and us say, I have belief in that, but I help me with my unbelief as well. And it struck me, the only thing that's really tied in to knowing the things of God is if we look at nature around us. Because as I began to look at just a few things, I found how Jesus, by his mere command, calmed the waves, calmed the wind. Wow. It's like nature hears him. If we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. And it struck me this morning, it's like, my goodness, Lord. Man, in our thick head and trying to understand things in faith, we have a time dealing with this, but yet in nature and the things out here, they hear you and they know you instantly. Oh, wow. Those deer. I didn't know what was happening early on in Sunday school. I was scared to look, but Dawn saw 5 or 6 deer eventually as it came out of the backfield across to the front and all that. Beautiful things of nature. But you look at this, and the wind obeys him. The waves obey him. We got to just see this here. I've got this down, so let me not vary off of this. Let me see if I can follow this. Mark 4:39. Because I begin to look at this, and all of a sudden it just hits me how simple it is that even nature hears him and obeys him. The birds hear him and follow him. He cares for the birds. He cares for all of that. And yet we have a hard time figuring this out, that does he really care about me? Hello? Wow. 4:39, Mark 4:39. Okay, I'm going to start. The wind and the waves obey him. Mark 4:35 and go down to 9. On that same day when evening had come, he had said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and he was in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, and so that it was already filling. Tell you what, there's been some times in my life that my boat's been filling up with problems. Man, oh man, and I needed to start, what do they call that? Get a bucket and start, pouring them out. But I take a bucket out and 2 buckets come in. So that it was already filling. And 38, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and he said to them, and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, in the red, what did he say? In the red, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See, when you're going through, your boat is rocking, your boat is filling with problems. If you're a child of God, Jesus is in that boat with you. Now, he may be sleeping, Well, he slumbers, he sleeps not, but here he's sleeping. But he's there with you in this whole time. And the issue is, too, sometimes, is wouldn't you think he would feel the thing? After a while, wouldn't you get seasick or something? But he was there sleeping. But I liked where it says, Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" How is it? And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Wow. Because he's God. The wind and the seas obey him. That's where my help comes from. But I got to understand that, my goodness, nature responds to him quicker than I do. My goodness. Now you can go back to Numbers 22. Just quickly there, I think it's just 22. It's a big story if you get into Balaam and the donkey. But as you begin to read this here, in 22, Numbers 22:22, then God's anger was aroused because he went and the angel of the Lord took his stand. The angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And now the donkey saw the angels of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Balaam struck the donkey to turn him back into the road. The angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on one side and a wall on the other. The donkey, verse 25, Numbers 22:25, saw the angel of the Lord. She pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further, and he stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the left or to the right. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She lay down under Balaam. And so Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Any donkeys here today? I tell you what, if the Lord will speak through my mouth, yee-haw! Let me be the mouth of the Lord, eh? And he said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you've struck me these three times? What? I got to run and tell my friends, my donkey just said this. Well, they would have probably put him in a psych ward somewhere. But the donkey, the Lord, through the donkey, spoke. But the donkey saying, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, well, now there you go. Now the guy's even having a conversation with the donkey. Because you've abused me. Because you have abused me. Or you've mocked me. I wish there was were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. And so in verse 30, so the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? I was a faithful donkey. I've taken you everywhere. I've been here for you. Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he says, well, no. It's the first time this has been done. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And that's a whole thing there you can get into. Until the Lord takes the veil off of our eyes, we don't see. I think a lot of times in our walk with him, many times, I think it's, we pray for people of salvations, or we pray for situations and people that don't want to understand or figure out how these things of the Lord are. They're just so hardened and seared, and begin to pray, Lord, reveal, open their eyes, take the blinders or take the scales off of their eyes or whatever. But this is what's happening here. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. The angel of the Lord says to him, Balaam, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed who? You by now, and I would have let your donkey live. Now, there's a lot of things that we could go into a lot of those things of what this is all pointing to. But here again, it's just like I'm getting back to that thought of, I believe, but help my unbelief and all these things. And here I'm finding that animals, nature, they're so receptive. Now granted, until the Lord opened up the eyes of Balaam, he didn't see, you know. He can blind our eyes not to see these things. But I think a lot of times now with the helps of the Holy Spirit with us on our side now 24/7, amen? 24/7, I walk with the Spirit of the Lord. It's just like, it's hard, it's not hard for people to believe, but they find it astounding to say, I'm going to tell you what, if anything happens in our city to where there's a tragedy and you need a chaplain, there's a chaplain that can be at your door 30 minutes no matter what time of day it is. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just because it's the way we've geared it up to always be available out there, someone. And like last night, there was two call outs, so the chaplain on call, he was already busy, and I got a second call and I was able to go. And so, but it's a thing that there's availability and there's someone always there. And that's the way I look at my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with me all the time. I'm receiving and sensing and responding back and forth to God. I'm going to tell you what, probably not just while I'm awake, probably in my dreams and my sleep sometimes, because I think there's sometimes when I wake up, I feel like I've had a conversation or he showed me something in a dream, but it's a thing in the spirit that you're recognizing. And so it's a constant, constant thing. And oh, if I could be that of a donkey, let me be of a donkey so that I can see the spirit or the angel of the Lord. Amen. I'm not too proud, if that's what it's going to take. But it seems like when it gets into us and man, we dissect it so much and we take away so much and we can't believe it because it's unbelievable. Well, it's unbelievable that a donkey can talk. It's unbelievable that you would even talk back to the donkey that's talking to you and asking you questions. So I don't know. But here again, an animal. An animal. The Lord allowed that animal to see the angel of the Lord standing before him. And one last area is in Matthew 6:26. And that's talking about the do not worry. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God is thousands and thousands and thousands, you know, of year, a couple of, you know, over 2,000 years old in New Testament and things, but even older than that in the New Old Testament and things, but for thousands of years. But this here, I like the heading on mine where Matthew 6:25, I'm going to start off there. And the heading on that says, do not worry. And it's just only been a few decades back or whatever, when did that song come out, don't worry, be happy, you know. How long back have we already been told that of Jesus, God speaking? Huh. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life and what will eat or what you will drink, nor your body and what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And I know there's probably people here too as well that likes to look at some of these things in nature and the birds. Somebody came in today reporting there's robins out in our front yard. Robins? Poor things, they're looking for worms. Are they coming up yet out of the ground? I don't know. They're picking whatever they can find, I guess. I don't know. But it starts thawing and these things start happening. But that's a sign. Signs of things coming, right? See, God gives us signs of the seasons that are coming. We've left a season of what it was, of winter, fall, and all of that nature. And now for us, we're looking ahead, and we've gone through the whole thing, and our calendar gets to prepare us. We spring ahead. We see that spring is coming, I think, on the 19th of this month. Now, that doesn't mean that snow is automatically turned off, because we could probably still have snow after that. But we know that it's coming. We know that there's springtime coming. We know that summertime is coming. We know that seasons and things are changing. God gives us that ability to see these things. And we see it in the things of that of nature, don't we? And so if nature can be so tuned in to the things of God, I want to be tuned into the things of God as well as me. And that's where I've got to say, help my unbelief, Lord. You know, I've got faith for this, but I'm not seeing the answer. I've prayed this over and over and over. I've not seen the answer. I do believe. I think by that saying that I do believe you have the power and you are of the power to do it. But I haven't seen it yet. And that begins me to understand, like, what helped me with my unbelief. And I don't know if we're helping with our unbelief to the point of saying, it's not you, it's me. I'm weak in that particular area. Strengthen me to where I begin to rest and not worry because the answer hasn't come yet, but that I can rest and be at peace even though the prayer hasn't come about. Because if we pray and the prayer doesn't answer in so many hours, days, months, years, decades, I don't know. There's so many things out there. But when I don't see it instantly or even, you know, after a decade, you think it would happen. But I've still got to believe. I'm still believing. And then all of a sudden, maybe I might waver into the areas, but I just have some unbelief with the area. Is it me, Lord? Am I not asking right? Is there something in me that, you know, you can go off of so many rabbit trails. But I'm just trying to get this thing figured out that I do believe you are the Son of God. Nobody's going to make me deny that. I do believe that you've got my best interest at heart. I do believe that you're there to give me, you know, an abundant life here in eternity. I believe. But I began to look at some of this when this man, to Jesus, you know what? Give him kudos for being honest. Sometimes we just kind of come to God and we just want to do the faith thing, the Christian thing, and oh, I got the faith, and I'm believing, I trust my God, and we do that. But there's sometimes I've got to go, but I don't understand. I don't say I want to be saying I'm confused. I don't. There's no confusion. I just don't understand why it's taking the time that it is, or why it hasn't happened the way that I thought it would. Was the prayer answered? Well, yeah, I guess it was, but it wasn't the way I thought it was, or whatever the case might be. And so that has to be to where I've got to get within myself and say, help me understand this, Lord. I truly, fully believe all the things that you're capable of. Don't doubt it an instant. But God is love and grace and mercy, and he's working with us all, and he will guide us along that path. I think the thing is that we've just got to be honest, like that man. And if there is any little unbelief or something like that, it's like, help me. Help me, Lord. Because I saw in the other parts of scriptures where just by their mere faith of just being in the same room as you, or just saying, just speak and it'll happen. I've never seen such faith in all. Who was that? That was that centurion, wasn't it? No greater faith have I seen. But he understood what the power and authority was, because he was that in the natural of what the world was put together. And when he had that understanding of authority, and through that of the responsibilities that he had and the commands that he had and the men under him and how his word moved whatever, he had no doubt that by the mere word of you, Jesus, yeah, hallelujah. So we have all these examples. There's good ones, and there's good ones, and there's ones that help us, and then we read some of these things, and then we try to figure this out, and where are we at in this whole thing? But Lord, I believe you. Help my unbelief of it, though. Heavenly Father, as we ventured through your word, I pray that something comes to us, Lord, to help us. That, Lord, our lives are challenges. This time that we're living, I guess, Lord, we say, you know, we can guarantee if you've been born, I can guarantee you're going to die. I can also say if you've been born, you're going to have challenges in your life throughout your times. But, Lord, those challenges will come. But we know that you are there as we have you, as we've received you as our Lord, as we have turned our lives over to you, Father. We have asked you to come. We have laid our life down because you laid your life down. And we come before that cross and say, thank you, Father. I believe some of the most important things that we're to do with this relationship that we have with you, Lord, is to be following you and to be at your call, to do what you want to have done. And when we go through our life with different situations, health, family members, financial things, jobs, relationships, whatever it might be, Lord, and those areas are causing difficulty in our life, that we believe that you are able to handle that. And your word tells us to cast our cares over to you, for you care for us. We thank you for that. I thank you for that. Help me be mindful, Lord, that you are there, that no situation that I come across is too great for you. It's great for me, yes, but it's never too great for you. forgive me and help me at those times that I may come with some unbelief, or did I ask the right way? Did I say it the proper way? Whatever the case might be, Lord, I just don't know. And may we also be like some of those that we read in Scripture, to where it's just our faith. It's by our faith. It's done. And that faith, Lord, we thank you for it, so that I will be able to be used by you in more areas. Again, Lord, I love you. And so, Lord, bless each one here today now as we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.